This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Mark Russinovich is a highly respected Microsoft tech fellow and author of technical nonfiction and fiction books. His second novel, Trojan Horse, is coming out in September. Mark is on the line with us via Skype-to-Skype communications right now from Washington State. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for being on the program with us. So is it your intention to scare everyone? Does this book do for computers what Jaws did for swimming and Psycho did for showers?
Well, actually, this is the second novel. The first novel was what I hoped was the Jaws for cybersecurity and cyber espionage. This second book is more about what's really going on out in the world in terms of governments using cyber tools as weapons and as tools in their arsenal to accomplish their global objectives.
With your background in computers and the work that you do, I mean, like you say, this is a thriller. What, with your knowledge, keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night is that no network, no computer is truly 100% secure. That if bad guys want to get in and they're smart enough bad guys, they'll find a way in.
Who is your typical audience for Trojan Horse? Who and your first book, Zero Day? Who are you going after?
Well, I'm going after anybody that likes the thriller genre and anybody that likes the techno aspect of thriller genre. So people that like Tom Clancy books, people that like Michael Crichton books, where you're going to learn something about what's going on in the world of cybersecurity. At the same time, you're getting entertained and hopefully educated, you know, having a good time reading a story.
There seems to be a relatively recent, and when I say recent, the last 15, 20 years, genre of writers who write about literally what they know. They come from a world where they are writing about. Lawyers who are writing legal thrillers and doctors who are writing medical thrillers and people like yourself. Is this something you've always wanted to do, write a fiction novel?
Absolutely. I think, and it turns out just about everybody I talk to feels like they've got a fiction novel in them. I've, from young age, been a fan of techno thrillers and science fiction and always thought I need to write one day. And actually my recognition that cyber terrorism and a big act of cyber espionage that could really impact the world was a message that needed to get out there. I thought, great opportunity to write a fun story, at the same time get out a message that I think people need to learn about. And so that's what prompted me to write the first one.
So tell us about Trojan Horse. I know the protagonist in the book is Jeff Akin, and he was also in your first book, Zero Day. Tell us about the plot line of Trojan Horse.
Well, Trojan Horse starts with Jeff getting called to London to investigate a crash of a program in the UK government's computers. And this is based on what really goes on, where malware trying to infect systems, sometimes when it doesn't operate correctly, causes programs to crash. And so when somebody like the UK government or the US government, the CIA, NSA, they have a program that crashes, they always investigate it to see if it's potentially malware trying to get its way into the system rather than just a program with a bug in it. So Jeff's called in to investigate, and he starts to uncover what turns out to be a pretty elaborate plot that involves Iran, the US, China, and nuclear weapons, and starts to pull on that thread and ends up getting scared for his life along the way.
In the real world, again, going back to the question I asked before, what are you worried about the most? Individuals who are computer savvy and are doing this kind of thing, or potentially doing this kind of thing for financial gain, or governments doing it for espionage reasons?
Well, my personal number one fear is organizations that have some agenda to carry out, where they terrorism is part of their agenda, using cyber as the means that they carry that agenda, because it's such a low-cost, anonymous way to wreak havoc. And there's so many systems that are so insecure, that are so vulnerable to this kind of attack, that it would be, I think, a really great way for that message to get out there. If you look at the attacks on 9/11, that was all about a few attacks, small attacks, that ended up having repercussions that were way magnified from the actual damage that they caused that very, you know, day during that those few hours of terror. And cyber attack on a large scale would have the same kind of effect. That's what concerns me the most is organizations that recognize that and go after it. And they don't even have to be that sophisticated. They can outsource it, which is what also makes it scary. It's not like they've got to have a complex nuclear weapon scheme to acquire a nuclear bomb. Rather, they just hire some good hackers and they've got a cyber weapon that's the equivalent of a nuclear bomb just in cyberspace.
Like the title of your book suggests, Trojan Horse, it's one of those situations where you don't necessarily know what you have, but it's there.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. What's been going on over the last few years, and there's been cases that have gone out into the public, like the Chinese attacks on Google, Project Aurora, where these malware, as part of nation-state-sponsored cyber and espionage, work their way into networks and start stealing stuff out of them or carrying out an agenda. The Stuxnet weapon, which people believe that the Obama administration has admitted to endorsing it, a cyber weapon created by the Israelis and the U.S. to go after Iran's nuclear program, and not just wreak havoc in cyberspace, but actually destroy physical equipment, the centrifuges that were part of the nuclear enrichment program. So we see cyber crossing into the realm of physical as well.
I mentioned in the introduction that you work at Microsoft. You're a Microsoft Tech Fellow. What do the folks at work around the water cooler say about you and your books?
Well, they actually think it's a lot of fun. And like I said, most of the people I talk to say that they've got a fiction novel or a fiction book in them. And a lot of people at Microsoft say that too. They really look at it in good fun and think it's it's interesting to watch what happens as the book comes out. And actually a message that a lot of people at Microsoft believe in getting out there. I met with Bill Gates actually during when he was still active at Microsoft and told him about the story. And he liked the idea enough that I got him to put a blurb on the first book. So people at Microsoft are very supportive.
I believe that blurb is in Mark's latest compelling creation. He is raising awareness of the all-too-real threat of cyber terrorism.
Yeah, that's the quote.
That's nice to have.
Yeah, it was actually a very pleasant surprise when I asked him if he'd be willing to do a blurb for the book, and he replied yes. I didn't expect that.
Second book, as I mentioned, featuring Jeff Akin, the current one out, is Trojan Horse. Are you foreseeing doing more in this series?
Yes, I do. I'm working with the publisher on some more book deals to follow in the same series with Jeff Akin, and working on the third book right now. The first book, Cyber Terrorism, the second book, State-Sponsored Cyber Espionage, and I think the third book will be focused on malware going after the financial system for financial gain.
And if friends, those same friends at Microsoft or friends elsewhere, were to read your book, would they recognize you in Jeff?
Yeah, I think they would. And it's said that authors often that write themselves into their first book. I think I definitely wrote a bit of me into Jeff. He's got a lot of my same characteristics, and I'm playing it out through him. So people at Microsoft definitely recognize a little bit of Jeff, or a little bit of me and Jeff.
And now that you have written a second book, and it's now out, Trojan Horse, what have you, as a writer, learned about Jeff over that period of time, and subsequently, perhaps even about yourself?
Well, I've learned that Jeff is still growing. He's, which is a little bit different than me. He went through emotional trauma with losing his first love of his life, and so kind of closed up, and he's, in the course of the first book, learned to open up a little bit more, and the second book's opened up even further, and so he's established a relationship with kind of the secondary protagonist in the book, Daryl Hagen, who's a colleague of his that helped him conquer the terrorists in the first book. He plays a key role in the second book with him. So Jeff likes, it doesn't have a problem sharing the limelight with her and having him be part of a team with him.
We haven't really seen a great cybercrime movie. Would you like to see your books turn into films?
Yeah, definitely. That'd be a lot of fun. I mean, this is part of the fun for me, is I wrote it because I wanted to write a book, like you said, and wanted to get a message out, and it's kind of fun to watch where the ride goes. The first book did way exceeded my expectations in terms of the reception and people coming up to me and saying that they love the book, and it looks like the second book's going to be well received as well. I mean, if it gets made into a movie, that's just all more part of the adventure that this would take me on.
The book is called Trojan Horse, and people can check out the website, which is trojanhorsethebook.com. And there's also a trailer, a little interesting trailer, on the website that people can take a look at as well. Mark, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk to us on the program.
Peter, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Mark Russinovich, author of Trojan Horse. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0158, and you'll find links to Mark's website plus links to Amazon.com, where you can order his book directly for the Kindle.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.